Now, here is a story that has crossed my desk here in the wee hours on Saturday morning, and I am going to tell you it. I want you to sit back, listen to it very closely, and I do not know if this is a definitive story, but this is something that is now being reported in France. Here it goes. Osama bin Laden died within days of contracting typhoid fever in Pakistan last month, according to an unnamed Saudi police source quoted in a French daily newspaper. According to a commonly reliable source, the Saudi police believe that Osama bin Laden has died. This apparently was done in a September 21st confidential note. According to the note to be published in this daily newspaper, the Saudi police would try to obtain more details, in particular, the location of the burial site, and then announce the news officially. It has been specified in the note that no jihadist internet site has, for the moment, been aware of the death of Osama bin Laden. According to the note, the head of al-Qaeda may have fallen victim to a strong case of typhoid fever while in Pakistan. On August 23rd of 2006, he may have died within a matter of days. That this is a developing story. Now, I'll tell you some inconsistencies about this story. You know, last week we had an opportunity to interview the Pakistani journalist, Hamid Mir, who claims that in his discussion with an al-Qaeda Afghan leader, that there would be a new audio tape coming from Osama bin Laden within the next 2 weeks or so. Now, who knows if that happens, if that tape was old or not. But this is strange because in that same discussion with Hamid Mir, he was talking about the possibilities that there's somebody in this country who may be running around with some kind of radiological bomb or something even worse. And I don't know if this story about the possibility that Osama bin Laden may have died of typhoid fever has anything to do with that. Whether that's just merely a trigger, a sign. But it's a fascinating story that's going to take you into the weekend. As I told you, the Pope's comments with regards to Muslims and Islam would create a international furor. The same thing is going to happen with this story as well. You're one of the first to hear about it in the world. And let's just see what happens. Again, based on this French newspaper report, that a Saudi police source is telling them that he believes that Osama bin Laden died, and that we will find out. I would not take it to the bank, but it's well worth considering. Now let's go to the phones right here on Coast to Coast AM, and then we'll take our little break. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ann in Tucson.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Well, that's a tough story to follow.
It sure is.
It would be nice to be real. I've had numerous interactions with ships over the years, and I awakened one night. This was in Connecticut, and there was what I can best describe. I called it a Sputnik-type thing. It was in my room as I was sound asleep. I woke up, and it was hovering above me, above the bed, very metallic, it was circular, and it had jutting off pieces of metal. And as it hovered there, it was funny. I didn't really freak out or anything, and I just felt that it was observing me. And when it seemed to realize that I was awake and fairly lucid, it simply floated up and out a corner of the ceiling.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was. I've had in this area of Connecticut, we were just surrounded with reporters at one point in Winsted, Connecticut, ironically where Ralph Nader was born, when 14 campers and their counselors saw ships up there in northwestern Connecticut, and that's where I saw three one night up in this area. So we kind of were used to the stories there in the 70s, and the three I saw in the 80 in 89 were up at this state park that's above a lake where people had actually heard engines humming during the winter time. So there's a lot of activity because it's so heavily wooded in Connecticut. And if you're out at night and up on the mountains, you have a pretty good view.
So you think there's some visitation here?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's almost so commonplace. I think at this point, the only people who don't believe in them, it's simply they haven't had evidence yet. The minute you have it happen to you, you believe. And so I kind of laugh at the so-called experts that say, oh, there's no such thing. They simply haven't had the experience, and so they don't have the evidence. The minute it happens to you, you're a believer.
Okay, thanks for you.
Okay.
I appreciate you being part of the program. And we'll be back with the rest of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And I want to give you the name of that French newspaper. Of course, I do not speak French, and my French pronunciation is probably going to be off. But it is, the paper's called, it's a daily, called the List, L-E-S-T. There's a apostrophe up there, Républicain. And that is the newspaper that is reporting that Saudi police are saying that bin Laden died of typhoid fever several weeks ago. And who knows? We'll see if some of the other mainstream media picks up on this story during this weekend and see if they can back that up or get a little bit more information. Should be a big story, even if they debunk it. We'll find out. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hi, George.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
George, I'm calling from Old Bridge, New Jersey. My name is Dan.
Hey, Dan. What's on your mind?
I got a little issue about one you or your callers might think about the government banning lead-based paints, especially in homes.
Well, they have done that, haven't they?
Yes, they have. But, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, I strongly believe in is that they try and, you know, block out some of the, you know, radio waves and things like that that they're sending out.
Ah, okay. So you think there's a little conspiracy going on here?
Possibly, you know, sending out, you know, subliminal messages, things to control the masses, stuff like that.
Interesting. Well, now let me ask you this. Now, Dan, would lead-based paint, if you painted your walls with the old lead-based paint, would that stop these emissions from entering your home?
I believe it would.
I don't know.
I believe it would. I've actually been trying some experiments on making my own lead-based paint. I'm a machinist, and I can, you know, I was thinking about grinding some up, getting it into a fine powder, and mixing it up and trying it in a special room in my house.
Of course, we do know that too much lead in your system is not good, but what you're basically saying is that they're tricking us, trying to get us to, you know, by forcing us not to use lead-based paint anymore.
Possibly. Mostly if it's ingested or inhaled. But if
so what do we do? How do we follow up on this story?
Oof, I don't know. I was hoping maybe you or some of your listeners might have a little insight on that.
I guess we'll talk to somebody who's an expert in lead-based paint.
Oh, if you could have somebody on about that, that would be great.
Okay, I'll check into that. This is the first time I've ever heard about that. Wildcard line, let's go to you. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Good morning, George. This
Hi.
Is Michelle from Bay Area in San Francisco.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I really have some strange things going on with me lately that I was hoping that maybe you knew something about or perhaps your listeners.
How strange, Michelle?
Well, my intuitiveness, because I don't like the word psychic, is just, it's not limited by time or distance. And I know things, like with my friends, if they're in need or if something's going on. And also, another really disturbing thing that's been happening to me is that I seem to have a field of static electricity around me that just won't go away.
You touch things and you get zapped?
I don't have to touch them. My finger could be an inch away and you can see an arc.
Of a spark?
A spark, but it's like an arc of, you know, the...
Of electricity.
Of electricity when my finger is just like maybe an inch or so away. And I'm constantly getting shocked, and I've kind of ruled out, you know, the common causes of static electricity by, you know, carpets or shoes or whatnot. And
have you always been supercharged like this?
No, this is just all started within like the last month. And
what would have happened in this month for this to occur?
Well, it's a very traumatic year for me.
Why? Do you want to share that with us?
Well, certainly, yeah. I got divorced after a 27-year marriage last year.
That's traumatic. That happened.
Yeah.
That's traumatic.
So I'm at peace about it now. But, you know, I know things that surprise people in it. And it just shocks them that, you know, my neighbor said, oh, my nephew got hurt playing soccer. And I go, oh, well, how is his knee? And he says, well, how did you know it was his knee? And I didn't have an answer for her. And I don't know. It's just really confusing me. And
you didn't brush up against something? You didn't accidentally, you know, zap yourself and you don't remember? Something charged you up.
I don't think it was your divorce. No, there's really no strong, you know, electrical, I mean, other than your common things you would find in your house, but it's just been continuous.
So if you run up to somebody and hug them, do you zap them?
Well, actually what happened is I went to touch my cat's nose and I shocked him. I felt so bad.
And he bolted back, no doubt.
Well, he turned around because it hurt him, you know, because, you know, it's a spark. It's, you know, it's a jolt. And so the fact that it can be visible, you know, that you can actually see the electricity, coming from my finger to something. And I was getting in my car, and this couple that were near me, he says, it sounded like you broke your fingernail. And I says, no, it was, I just shocked myself again. And the fact that my intuitiveness and my aura has extended, and I have a wider presence of perception as to what is going on around me.
Gosh, I'd love to find out what happened to you.
I would like to know, too, and I don't know if any of your listeners could have thoughts on this.
All right, I'll keep my eyes out on our fast blast and see if anybody else calls us with that. But something happened to you in 30 days. You know, maybe it was biological. Let's go to our We Are Not Alone line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. Hi, George.
Yeah, where are you calling? Hi.
Where am I calling from?
Mm-hmm.
Penryn, California.
Okay, so you don't think we're alone?
No, I really don't.
How come?
It's due to an experience that a female friend of mine had. She was in the military. She's had a special gift since she was a child, and the government knew about it because they were testing her when she was a child.
What kind of gift was this?
Well, she's empathic. She can feel others, feel when people are around, feel sort of kind of like a lie detector. She could just have feelings. I'm trying to say this within a minute. she was pretty much enticed to go into the military, to go into ROTC, and she told me that she figured this out later on, of course, as she got into her 40s. But anyhow, they basically lured her into the military, and to skip to the point, she was soon enough into an agency that used to be called the OSI, and she was taken to a place that was confined, yet it had everything that a human being would need, such as a kitchen, a gym, a bed.
And was she almost like she was kidnapped?
No. They asked her to go along. She complied. I mean,
yeah, but what if she didn't?
You know, I don't know, but she said there was a window in every room, kind of like what a detective window would be, where they could see you but you can't see them.
Right. How long did they hold her?
She was there for 3 months. It was definitely over a month, but she says it was about 3 months. And it was very hard to live there, but she began to just, they told her to just go about everyday life, to do everything that she could do. She was underground. And
they just wanted to observe her, huh?
They wanted to observe her, and she couldn't see behind the window. But later on, she started having dreams, and she could actually see behind the window in her dreams what was watching her. And she kept telling me that she felt, she knew it was not human, but it was a weird connection, like whatever it was. Not talking to her, but letting her know I'm here and I'm a very nice thing. You know, I'm a very nice.
But it sounds like it was trying to learn something from
her. It was exactly, and that's what we've come to conclusion. Anyway, she's not a crackpot. She just retired from the Department of Justice.
I'd love to talk with her.
Well, you know, I didn't even tell her I was going to call.
You haven't given her name yet, but you might want to talk with her and just ask her if she'd like to go on the show. We would even do it anonymously. Her voice would stay the same. I think we could distort it when I get back to Los Angeles, but I would love to talk with her.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea to change the voice because she's already talked to someone in the agency that it changed to, and they confirmed to her that her dreams were very valid. And he's been her very good friend for a long time. He's a retired colonel.
Did she try to explain what she thought this being might have looked like, even though she never saw the thing?
We actually drew, and she said, you're not going to, you know, it's going to be hard to believe, but it's exactly how people describe aliens to look like.
Like the grays, then, the big heads, the big eyes, that kind of look?
Exactly.
Long, skinny arms?
Exactly.
Yeah, you would have to get her on this program for me. So this is how we do it. Why don't you talk to her? We'll do everything anonymously.
Okay.
And email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Please flag it that you were on the program.
George at Coast to Coast. Okay, Coast to Coast.
CoasttoCoastAM.com.
AM, okay.
And let's see what happens after that.
You're going to kill me.
No, you're going to ask her first. I mean, it's not like
we're going to... I'm an amateur writer, so I'm trying to write this book about her because you just would not believe her life. But I know why they wanted her because, you know, it just all sounds right.
And they let her go, though, after the 3 months. That was it? She was done with them?
She was done, and she was... they didn't blindfold her. They put this patch mask over her so that they could take her out without her knowing where she was.
Well, we can imagine where she was, right? Maybe Area 51?
She was
in Nevada.
She told me it was more of Nome, Alaska, is what she felt.
Deep underground.
Deep underground, because they had to take a cat to the place. They had to take a snow cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Go to work for us on that. I'd love to talk with her if you can get that.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Wow, that's an incredible story. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Hey, make sure that Ian Punnett and Art Bell are part of your weekend regimen as well. They're both on with some great guests, and I'll be back Monday in St. Louis in the Cave before heading on eventually back to Los Angeles. We'll be back in a moment. Final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Glenn Beck has invited me back on CNN Headline News for this Wednesday, 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. So I shall be coming back on the Glenn Beck Show. You know, I was on last week talking about Hamid Mir, and they gave Glenn the contact, and Hamid was on the program the very next day. But Glenn wants to have me back to talk about the book Worker in the Light. And we do have that book signing tomorrow. Well, now it's this morning, 1 p.m. in Novi at the Border Store on Crescent Avenue. If they haven't sold out already, gosh, I hope they sent enough for people who want to go out there and get them signed. But I tell you what, if you already purchased the book out that way, come on by. I'll sign it anyway. Let's go back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dale Freeman. I discovered more in astrology than anybody in modern times, and I can describe some of my discoveries. And I just love your program. You're such a nice person. My name is Dale Freeman. I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I discovered the way you smile shows your moon sign. And if you smile with a frown, your moon sign's in Capricorn. And if you smile with your mouth partly open, like you're being enlightened, that's a sign of Aquarius. And Pisces is a jagged sign. Your lips are wavy-shaped. And when you smile with your mouth open, that's fire or air signs. And when you smile with your mouth closed, it's earth and water. Earth or water. And I can describe all those signs, and they won't let me talk about it. I don't know why. I've been going to the Astrology Society in St. Paul, Minnesota for 12 years, and they won't let me talk about it.
Who's they?
Well, that's, I don't know, the people in charge of it. They don't want to hear about stuff like that.
Why not, Dale?
I don't know why. You're such a nice person. Maybe you could interview me sometime. I'm kind of nervous because this is so important to talk to you about this.
What are you nervous about, Dale? It's just little old me.
Yeah, you're such a nice person. You're wonderful. I listen to you most every night. I go to bed about 1:30, but I wanted to talk to you, so I stay up late. But I discovered the way your smile shows your moon sign, and I took 200 photographs, and I discovered that your sign can be off up to 3 months either side of your sun sign half the time. But half the time, you're the same as your sun sign. That goes with your moon sign, too.
Well, now, Dale, you got to tell me, though, what does all this mean? So if I'm smiling and you know, my mouth isn't open all the way, I mean, so I might be the sign of Pisces or Aquarius, but what does that mean?
Sign, that's where your moon is. That varies every, that's not as important.
My moon is by my lips?
Your sun sign's the month you're born, but your moon sign is a day you're born. Every 2 days it changes, where it every, your sun sign changes every month.
Yeah, but what does that all mean to me? I mean, on my daily life.
Your personality, that's the greatest discovery, because that's a tangible aspect of you can predict things by certain variables in smile configuration.
So how long would it take you, if we did a show with you, how long would it take you to explain all this to us?
Well, it wouldn't take too long, I don't think.
So you
I got other ideas, too. Every decade is a different sign, and this is a Cancer decade because the number 2, 2000 to 2010, number 2, and that's family values and creature comforts. And the next decade coming up, 2010, 2020, will be Libra, and that will be the balance and justice and harmony.
Well, let's do a little run through it. Let's pretend that you're really live on the radio, okay?
Yeah, I'm scared.
And we've got all these millions of people. I'm going to do a little pretend introduction into you.
Yeah.
And then you answer my first question. Let's
sure.
see how you do. We'll do it as a test.
Sure.
You ready? Okay, here we go. So on the line with us now is the astrologer, Dale. Dale, so tell us, why'd you get into astrology?
Oh, I had gland trouble when I couldn't grow a beard, and I got in the mental health system. And I talked to a woman that was Irish that had red hair, was named Linda. Like that Linda Moulton Howe, she's an Aries too, I think. And I grew a beard by talking to her, and she got me interested in astrology. I got 27,000 hours of language study. I studied Russian, German, French, and Spanish, and I got a master's degree level in German, Russian, and French, and a master's degree level in Spanish. But then I went into astrology, and I discovered that so obvious that people aren't the sign they're born under, because you go by their body type and their personality. And I took 200 photographs later on, and I discovered that half the time they could vary up to 3 months either side of their sign. So that, maybe that's why they don't want me to talk about it, because that would be a radical change in astrology.
Do you think there's a conspiracy here, Dale, to stop you from talking about this?
I don't know. I don't like to think about conspiracies, but it's a possibility, I guess. I don't know. Really, I don't understand a lot of things like that. I'm a nice person, and I don't see why they won't let me talk about it.
Well, you sound like a nice person. Okay, that's your run-through.
I think you're so loving and kind, and you're so nice to people. And
well, you're doing anything to get on this show, Dale, aren't you?
No, I'm being honest. I mean, I guess I have a sense of humor, but I mean, You are a nice person, and you make me feel more relaxed when I talk to you.
What's the funniest thing?
Talk to before I come on the line.
Yeah, what's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you?
Funniest? Oh, I had a near-death experience. I don't know if that was the funniest.
I wouldn't laugh about that.
Oh, funniest. I thought you mean strangest.
No, funniest. What's the funniest thing that ever happened to you?
I don't know. My moon sign is in Capricorn. It looks like I'm frowning, so I have a lot of bad luck. But lately, I've got all these ideas, and so I'm making up for it because that's the Capricorn aspect. When you're young, you're so unhappy, but when you get second half of life is when you really take off and you do so well, you know.
How old are you?
I'm 66.
Well, that's not too bad, is it?
No, I got a lot of time ahead of me, but I'm taking medication for mental illness, and like I say, I never had mental illness. I had gland trouble, and I couldn't grow a beard, and I was high strung, and I wanted to talk to...
Hold on. You're taking medication for what?
For mental illness, for schizophrenia, but...
Oh.
I don't think I have it. I had gland trouble. I couldn't grow a beard, and I was high strung, and I just wanted to talk to somebody, and they gave me medication. I got off it, and I had a near-death experience.
So you're okay?
Yeah, but I'm going to have to cut back on that medication because 25% because I've got this weight problem. That's the only thing from the trouble with the medication is that I weigh so much and my heart bothers me.
Well, you got to take care of your heart. How much do you weigh?
Well, I don't know. It's enough to bother my heart. I used to weigh 130. If
That's
I weighed 145, it wouldn't be too bad, but I weigh about 185.
That's not bad. How tall are you?
5'6".
Well, that's not too bad.
But my heart bothers me when I drink coffee. You're such a nice person. I feel more relaxed now. I'd like you to interview me. I emailed you, but you never... I email you when I write papers. My website is Ideas by Dale Freeman on Yahoo. I'm listed first for Ideas by Dale Freeman. And you can read all my ideas on
there. Okay, Dale. I tell you what.
I'm not making any money off of this.
Well, you did well on the first run through, and so we'll consider it. We'll consider it. You just take care of yourself, and thanks for being on the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast this Saturday morning. Hi there.
Hi. I'm sitting on the edge of Highway 50 and on my way to Lake Tahoe, and I'll tell you something. Talk about being freaked out.
What happened?
Nothing. I was just listening to this and all this stuff, and it's dark, and the stars are shining, and, you know, it's kind of crazy. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
The reason I called was because I was listening to Linda, and I was thinking about Lake Tahoe and the depth in relation to what she was talking about, the Great Lakes. And I just wanted to throw that by you and then tell you a story. Several years ago, it was like in the early 80s, we had moved to Texas and came back to California, and we were sitting and visiting with my husband's secretary and her husband, and he worked for a very, very large, very well-known aerospace company.
I bet I could guess, but that's okay.
And he had just come back from Arizona and was there for about 3.5 weeks at Hangar 13.
Oh, really?
And he sat, and I looked at him like he was nuts. I thought he was crazy. And I said, "You're just pulling my leg." And he said, "No, I'm not." And he started showing me, you know, just not anything classified, but just things that he had just been there, like his airline ticket and hotel room and, you know, some of the information that, you know, I knew he was there.
Well,
and no reason not to believe him.
But what was going on there?
He didn't tell us what was going on, but I said, "Well, that's all garbage." And he said, "Don't kid yourself. It's not garbage." He said, "I witnessed it. I saw it." And he said, "The stories are true." And he spent 3.5 weeks there.
You believe him?
I do. He had no reason to lie to me. I mean, these people were very straight-laced, you know, very, you know, conservative people. And he said it blew him away. He said, we hear all these stories about Roswell and, you know, here I'm 50 feet from Nevada and, you know, Area 51. And, you know, there's no reason for me not to believe him because he's not that kind of person.
Yeah, he wouldn't be out to lie to you, would he?
No, under the circumstances, you know, we weren't in a situation where we were joking around. We were sitting on their patio enjoying the sun and having a barbecue and we'd asked him what, you know, what had been going on in their lives, and we hadn't seen him for a while, and she said he just got back from a trip.
Would you bet the ranch that he was telling you the truth?
Absolutely.
Well, that's pretty startling. Okay, hey, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Next on, West of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I had a question for you. You were saying something about Osama bin Laden.
According to a French newspaper, they say he died of typhoid fever several weeks ago. Who knows? But they're quoting some Saudi sources in this story.
Yes. I just something real quick to tell you. I'm from Georgia. I'm calling from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have a lot of the chemtrails a lot, and I used to be sick from that. And they've kind of just slowed down a little bit. And I haven't been sick for about a year and a half or two years.
Right. They have slowed down, and I don't know why. They seem to go in different regions all the time now.
Yes, sir. What do you think causes, what's in that, the chemtrails to make people sick?
You know what, it's either weather control or people control. It's one or the other. And nobody's been able to convince me which one it is yet.
Okay. And I got a last comment. There's been a virus going on out here in Georgia, and a lot of people's being sick, and the doctors don't seem to know what it is.
What do you mean? What kind of virus?
They don't have no idea. It's like make you real sick, make you go to the bathroom a whole lot. And because my ex-brother-in-law, he got it, and he's been sick as a dog from it. And they said they never seen anything like it before.
That's weird. What, did he eat spinach?
He believed he ate a salad while he was on a trip to Mississippi last week. So he could have been, you know.
Well, I don't know, just a little salad. Did anybody ever tell you sound like Jimmy Carter?
No, I know. It's the first time I ever heard that.
You sound a little bit like Jimmy Carter.
Well, that sounds good. That's a compliment, George.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We're wrapping up the weekend. We'll take a few more calls, and that shall be it. So we'll take you, Wild Card Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Cool. I got through. I wanted to ask if I think that possibly some of the alien life forms that we're seeing are actually creatures that, you know, they say they've been with us from the beginning and all that. Why haven't anyone considered that they might have evolved along with us on this planet?
Some people believe that. Some people believe they're living deep underground. Do you?
They might be. They might be all around us. We might just not notice.
What got you to start thinking this way?
Well, I'm really interested in, like, old stories about fairies and things like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that they say about fairies, like, a lot of the habits they have, like things with taking people's children away or people disappearing and coming back a long time later and not knowing that the time had passed. It sounds very similar.
So do you believe in leprechauns?
Well, I don't believe in the kind that hide, you know, pots of gold, but maybe.
Or give us wishes?
Well, they might give wishes, but I don't think they'd be too happy about that.
If you were given one wish, what would it be?
To not have anything to have to wish for.
So you'd have it all?
Yeah.
You remember that Twilight Zone movie where there were consequences with the genie? He got three wishes, but every one was a disaster. He wanted power. He ended up being Hitler. He wanted money. It was a disaster. You know, so be careful. And that was the moral of the story. Be careful what you wish for. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I pushed the button just when you said that. You got to jump when I go. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir.
My name is Chase. I'm calling from Whittier, California.
Yeah. Know it well. What's going on?
Well, I had a story, you know, to tell you when I was younger. It happened, like, I'd say about a good 5 years ago. And I've always believed in aliens and everything like that, you know, God didn't make just us, this is what I believe. Well, it was one night about, I think, like 3 a.m, and I'm sitting in my front room, and I hear a big old commotion in my backyard, and I go walking back there, and my dog, he's a pit bull mixed with boxer, and this dog, he ain't afraid of nothing.
No, that's a tough breed right there, a tough mix.
Mm-hmm. He's a very vicious dog, you know, and he is literally trembling. You know, he's really, really shaky. The thing about him is he don't make no noise. You know, he's one of those quiet dogs. He'll get you, and you won't hear him.
He doesn't bite people, though, does he?
Oh, Well, only if you intrude. Only
so
if
he,
you
so
intrude.
He, so he protects you, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good, very, very good dog, too.
Would he bite a kid?
Oh, no. Hey, oh, no, no, no.
Okay,
no.
Good.
He wouldn't. But he's sitting there where his doghouse was an old wooden doghouse. And I had made it for a previous dog I had, German Shepherd. I made it for him. Well, he's sitting next to the doghouse, won't go inside the doghouse. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, what's wrong? You know, because his name was Doofus. He wasn't all there. Like,
Doofus.
Me and my mom called him Doofus.
No wonder he's got problems. You named him Doofus.
Yeah, he's a dinky dog. But he wouldn't go in the doghouse. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, go ahead, go in the doghouse. And he wouldn't do it. You know, he just stood still and shaking, trembling. And I don't, you know, what the heck? And, like, he kind of, like, starts to go towards me, and he looks kind of past me. And then he runs into the doghouse. What the heck? So I turn around, and there's this like, figure standing, like, I'd say about a good 2-3 feet behind me. I look back, and I start trembling. You know, I'm 6'2". I'm a big guy, you know. And I see this figure standing behind me, and I turn around, and I look straight at it, and it just looks weird to me.
What did it look like?
Like, it looked like, I'd say a little taller than me.
Well, I mean, did it look like it was a creature from this planet or someplace else?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. I couldn't give you all the details because.
But where do you think it came from?
You know, I'm not sure, but I remember the night before I had saw some weird things in the sky.
Ah, the old weird things in the sky bit. So they may have come from up there. For Kiris Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ian Punnett, Ross Mitchell, Katie Scanlon helping us out here on OnStar's facility, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.